Now and turn to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. We have started a new series going through the book of Ephesians. And last week we looked at the first two verses of the book, of this letter. And we saw that this is really a letter written by Jesus to us to strengthen us and encourage us as we live both in this world and in Christ at the same time. It's a letter that was inspired by the love of our Savior and given to us. There's lots of stuff that's packed into this second section, and so I plan to linger here for the next 4 weeks or so. There's just lots to talk about in these next 12 verses. So I'll read Ephesians chapter 1, starting at verse 3, reading through verse 14. Remember, these are the words of God. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us for adoption through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace, with which he has blessed us in the beloved. In him, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of his will, according to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ, as a plan for the fullness of time to unite all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. In him we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, so that we who are the first to hope in Christ might be to the praise of his glory. In him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of his glory. That's the reading of God's holy word. Stew is the kind of meal that you don't need anything else to go along with it. You don't need a side or a salad or a vegetable, because stew is the kind of meal where all the sides are really thrown into the stew pot and mixed together. And you eat it all together, all at the same time. I have a recipe that's called Everything But the Kitchen Sink Stew, and it includes vegetables and potatoes and pasta, different meats and some fruit, herbs and spices, lots of other things, all mixed together. And it satisfies the biggest hunger pangs. Well, the passage that we're looking at today and we'll be looking at for the next few weeks can best be understood as a stew of sorts, a stew of blessing. One obvious characteristic when we come to the writings of Paul is that he's passionate about the things that he's writing about. And regularly throughout his letters, that passion erupts onto the written page. Well, that's clearly what's happening here in our passage that we're looking at today, at the beginning of this letter. In verse 3, Paul thanks God for giving us every spiritual blessing in Christ. And just the mention of those spiritual blessings causes Paul to erupt with excitement, spilling over with one magnificent run-on sentence, which in Greek is over 200 words long. And it's this stream of thought where Paul reflects on the amazing, glorious spiritual blessings that are ours in Christ. And as you read this passage, it's obvious that Paul doesn't list these blessings systematically, taking one thing at a time, but rather he just pours it all out onto the page in a stream of thought and mixes it all together in what I can best describe as a spiritual blessing stew. And it's all so mixed together that it's a challenge to figure out how it all exactly works together, to figure out what exactly he's saying here. This is spiritual blessing stew. Nothing is lacking. All the side dishes have been poured into the pot. All the flavors and ingredients mixed together to create the most glorious concoction that excites and satisfies and fulfills the most empty soul. And the best part of it all is that it's all ours in Christ. It's all yours in Christ. If you're in Christ, then this whole package is yours. It's a package deal. You get it all. You don't just get parts of it or certain ingredients, but it's all yours, the whole thing, and you don't need anything else. You don't need a side dish. And it's this stew that'll satisfy you for the rest of your life. As you go throughout your life day by day, it can be wearing and exhausting. Exhausted by the things that you face, the things that weigh you down every day. Well, let your mind chew on the meal that will satisfy you forever. The spiritual blessing stew that will satisfy you without exception in Christ. Remember that this spiritual blessing stew is yours right now. And let it fill you with great hope and excitement. So let's take a look now at this stew. There, in these 12 verses, there's lots to talk about. It's jam-packed with wonderful, important concepts. And my plan is to spend the next 4 or 5 weeks looking particularly at the blessings, the individual blessings that are mentioned here, the various parts, the ingredients that make up this stew. Today, though, I want to look more broadly at this passage and get an overall picture of what's going on here, what these spiritual blessings are. Today we're going to ask 4 questions about this stew of blessing. What is it? Who made it? How do we get it? And why does he give it to us? And those points are there in your outline in the bulletin. What is it? Who made it? How do we get it? And why does he give it to us? The first question, what is it? What is this stew? As I said earlier, when Paul gets excited about things, he tends to spill over with excitement and he rattles off the blessings that we have as Christians in this sort of stream of thought. And he mentions many of the blessings that are ours. He doesn't exhaust the list, but he mentions many of the blessings that are ours. Chosen, predestined, loved, adopted, sanctified, redeemed, forgiven, given an inheritance, sealed with the Spirit, and more. All these blessings, though, are really component parts of a single blessing. All the spiritual blessings that are sort of mixed up in this passage here are working together to produce one magnificent blessing. And that one magnificent blessing is the blessing of reconciliation. Perfect, total, and complete reconciliation. You could really categorize this stew as the stew of reconciliation. Every spiritual blessing that we are given is just a component part that contributes to producing this perfect reconciliation of all things. Once every spiritual blessing is in place, then the result is perfect reconciliation. Let me show you how this comes out of our passage. It comes out of verses 9 and 10. It says, "He made known to us the mystery of His will, according to His purpose, which He set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time." And here it is, to unite all things in Him, in Christ. Things in heaven and things on earth. To unite all things together in Christ. This verse tells us that God has made known to us His plan. In verse 9, He has made known to us His plan. And then in verse 10, He tells us that His plan is to unite all things together in Christ. As God orchestrates the history of the world, He's working toward a goal. And His goal, as it says in our verses, to unite all things together in Christ, things in heaven and things on earth. When God created the heavens and the earth and everything in them, He filled them with relationships, perfect relationships. There was a perfect relationship between God and mankind. God ruled over them and cared for them and loved them. And they loved God. There was a perfect relationship between Adam and Eve, a perfect marriage. They loved and cared for each other. And Adam and Eve also enjoyed a perfect relationship with the creation around them. And they ruled over it and cared for it with love. But the fall into sin, well, before the fall into sin, all these relationships were perfect. But the moment that sin entered the world, everything fell apart. Our sin separated us from God because we sinned against Him. Our sin separated us from each other because we sinned against each other. And our sin separated us from the creation because we sinned against the creation, not caring for it as we ought. Every single relationship that we were created to have at the beginning was broken. And in one moment, we lost everything. Peace was gone. Instantly, Adam blamed God and he blamed Eve for his sin. Later, Cain killed Abel and it goes downhill from there. Instantly, the whole world was divided. Broken to pieces, shattered. That goodness was broken. Well, God's plan and purpose from even before all this happened was to put it back together again in Christ. One Greek expert commented on the word that's here translated as unite, to unite all things together in Christ. And this is what he said. All things and beings which were disunited by sin are brought into one combined state of fellowship in Christ. In Christ, we are reconciled with God, reconciled together with one another, and reconciled with creation. Through Christ, everything is put back together. When we think of the work that God's doing in our lives and doing here on earth, one word that comes, the one word that comes closest to encapsulating it all is the work of reconciliation. Every other spiritual blessing simply contributes to this big picture, this grand scheme of things. Everything is being put back together in Christ. All that division will be gone and will be whole again. This is the idea of shalom in the Old Testament. Peace with God, peace with one another, peace with creation, wholeness, prosperity, tranquility, friendship. All these words are used to translate this word shalom, uniting everything together. So as we go through the various ingredients in this spiritual blessing stew, forgiveness and sanctification, adoption, the promise of an inheritance, they're all great blessings, but they're all just component parts of the greater picture of the reconciliation of all things, the shalom of the world. We feel very sharply and harshly, the brokenness of the world around us and the division that has resulted from our own sin. Separation with God. Tension and division with one another. A cursed and decaying world around us. And we can be overwhelmed by these things. But don't lose heart. Every spiritual blessing has been given to you in Christ. And so very soon, as these spiritual blessings are fulfilled, we will once again enjoy peace and wholeness. Perfect, total, and complete reconciliation in every way imaginable. This wonderfully satisfying stew of reconciliation is ours. All of it. It's yours. In Christ. So our question, what is this stew that contains all these spiritual blessings? It's the stew of reconciliation. The stew that's uniting everything together in Christ. The second question that we're asking is, who made this stew? Who created such a wonderful mix of blessings to satisfy us? Well, of course, the answer is God. God is the one who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing. He's the one accomplishing the peace and wholeness and reconciliation of this world. This gift comes from God. Have you ever made a present for someone and you knew that it was exactly what they needed, what they wanted? And although it took you a long time to make it and put it together, you wanted to work on it because you knew that it was exactly what they needed and what they wanted. You were excited about it. You were excited for them to have it. Well, God is the maker of this good gift. And He made it with you and me, particularly in mind, knowing that it's exactly what you needed, knowing that it would satisfy you forever. This gift comes from God. And actually, this passage indicates that each person of the Trinity plays a role in producing this gift. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, who are all mentioned multiple times in these 12 verses, are recognized as being involved in planning, preparing, and serving this gift, delivering this stew of blessing. In fact, the first verse of this section, verse 3, all three persons of the Trinity are recognized as playing a part in this blessing stew. It says, "Blessed be the God and Father," that's the first person of our Lord Jesus Christ, "who has blessed us in Christ," the second person, "with every spiritual," which we'll see as a reference to the Holy Spirit, "with every spiritual blessing," the third person of the Trinity, "in the heavenly places." Let's take a moment and think about how each person of the Trinity played a part in planning, producing, and delivering this amazing gift of blessing to us. Paul first mentions God the Father. "Blessed be," or "praise be, to God the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." Paul is praising and calling us to praise God the Father for giving us these blessings. Basically, here's what God the Father did. Long before the creation of the world, long before there were any angels or demons, in eternity past, our one holy God existed. And He existed as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. They enjoyed each other. Well, in eternity past, while in communication with God the Son and God the Holy Spirit, God the Father made a plan. He made the plan to create the heavens and the earth and everything in them. And He also planned the history of the world from the beginning to the end. And His plan included the fall into sin. God isn't the author of sin, but His plan included the fall into sin, the split between God and man, a curse on mankind, a curse on creation. In His divine plan, the whole world would be divided by sin. It wasn't an unexpected surprise. He then, still in eternity past, planned the long process of reconciling the whole world together again, which He would do through a Redeemer. And in that plan of reconciliation, He decided who would receive His blessing, this blessing of reconciliation. It says that God the Father chose by name everyone whom He would redeem, love, and adopt, and who in the end would enjoy the reconciliation of all things. Not everyone will enjoy the blessing of reconciliation, but only those God has chosen in eternity past. So God the Father developed this perfect plan, this plan for the blessing of reconciliation. Our passage also says that that before He created anything, He chose by name those who would receive this blessing of reconciliation. And so God determined exactly who would be with Him in the glorious new heavens and the new earth. So God came up with this plan of reconciliation. He determined who would receive this gift of reconciliation. So going back to our stew metaphor, God the Father came up with the recipe for the stew of reconciliation. And he chose those who would enjoy eating this stew of blessing forever. So God the Father made the plan. Next comes God the Son, Jesus Christ. And Jesus is referred to in these 12 verses 13 times, at least either by name or by pronoun. And it's clear that every spiritual blessing is rooted in what Jesus has accomplished for us as our Savior. In God the Father's perfect plan, He sends His eternal Son to become a human, to live and die and rise again. And Jesus did this willingly. He obeyed His Father. And this sacrifice that Jesus made took away our sins, which is what divided everything in the first place. And He took away our sins in order to begin the process of reconciling all things back together again. When He died on the cross, Jesus secured for us every spiritual blessing. He bought with His blood every spiritual blessing for us. You can think about it like this. If God the Father came up with the recipe for the stew of reconciliation, Jesus was the chef who bought all the ingredients and cooked it up and made it a reality. There'd be no blessing of reconciliation if Jesus had not bought it with His life. There'd be no reconciliation if our sins were not taken care of, and our division and hatred and tension would continue on into hell forever. So through His death and resurrection, Jesus secured for us every spiritual blessing. So God the Father made the plans for reconciliation, as well as who would receive this reconciliation. God the Son died for our sins in order to make this blessing of reconciliation a reality. And now we come to God the Holy Spirit. God the Holy Spirit is referred to three times, either by name or by pronoun. And as I pointed out earlier, He's mentioned in verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing. The term here that's translated as spiritual is used 26 times in the New Testament. And by far, the majority of those times are referring to the work of the Holy Spirit. Today, when we use the term spiritual, it doesn't necessarily refer to the work of the Holy Spirit. A Buddhist can be a spiritual person. Any song with a religious idea can be a spiritual song. But the Bible most often uses the word in a more narrow sense. When the word spiritual is used, it's referring to the work of the Holy Spirit. A Greek dictionary defines it this way. Spiritual means belonging to the divine spirit, emanating from the spirit, or divinely inspired, something ascribed to the work of the Holy Spirit. By calling these spiritual blessings, He indicates that these blessings come from the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the one who delivers the blessing of reconciliation along with all its component parts. After Jesus died and rose again, He ascended into heaven and He sent the Holy Spirit into the world. And the Holy Spirit has been at work delivering this gift of reconciliation, which was bought by Jesus. And He delivers it to all those who were loved, chosen, and predestined by God our Father. In our sin, we are dead, blind God-haters and want nothing to do with Jesus. But the Holy Spirit has the power to change all that. He makes us alive. He opens our eyes and gives us a new heart, a heart that loves God. And only when the Holy Spirit works do we see our desperate need for salvation and reconciliation in Christ. The Holy Spirit enables us to love God and to trust in Christ. And through Christ, He delivers to us every spiritual blessing. Continuing on with the stew metaphor, God the Father came up with a recipe. God the Son produced it. He bought everything and mixed it all together. And the Holy Spirit is the server. who at the moment that that God the Father has determined that stew of blessing is delivered to every single one of God's chosen people, those that God loved and predestined. So back to our second question, who made this stew of blessing? The triune God has planned, made, and delivers this stew of blessing. It comes from God. So what is this stew of blessing? It's really the stew of reconciliation of all things. And who gave it to us? It's the triune God, planned by God the Father, prepared by God the Son, and delivered by God the Holy Spirit. Now the third question. How do we get this stew of reconciliation? How can we be a part of this big plan of uniting all things together in Christ? How can we enjoy the reconciliation of all things? Well, the only way to receive this blessing of reconciliation is by being united to Christ. Being united to Christ is what carries us through the process from beginning to end. Listen to the terminology that Paul uses throughout this passage. God has blessed us in Christ, chose us in Christ, predestined for adoption through Christ, blessed in Christ. In Christ we have redemption, united all things in Christ. In Christ we have obtained an inheritance, hope in Christ, and believed in Christ. The gift of reconciliation hinges on one thing: your relationship with Jesus Christ. Only if you hope in Christ and believe in Christ and trust in Christ will you participate, will you enjoy this process of reconciliation. Only then will you enjoy true reconciliation with God, with one another, and this world. And apart from Christ, every relationship that you ever have will be divided by sin. Everything hinges on your relationship with Jesus Christ. The only way that you'll enjoy any spiritual blessing from God is if you give your life to Christ, if you bow your knee to the King and trust Him as your Savior. Only then will you be given every spiritual blessing. If you're in Christ, you have it all. But if you're not in Christ, you have none of it. Where are you right now? Are you living apart from Christ, where every relationship is doomed to failure and division? Or are you a part of the solution, united to Christ through faith, on your way to perfect, complete, and total reconciliation? Where do you live right now? In Christ or apart from Christ? So this spiritual blessing is really the stew of perfect, total, and complete reconciliation of all things. And it's given to us by God. And the only way that we get it is if we're united to Christ through faith. And now we come to the last question. Why does God give it to us? When we destroyed this world with our sin, God had every right to just sweep us off the earth right into hell and be done with it right then and there. But instead, He got to work putting everything back together to reunite all things together under Christ. And He did this for one reason. He did this for His glory. In our passage, there's a phrase that is repeated three times, which says, to the praise of His glory. To the praise of His glory. To the praise of His glory. The only reason why God has been working to put the pieces of His creation back together again, the only reason He gives us this stew of blessing, the only reason why God has planned for the history of the world to work out in this way, is so that everything in all creation would praise Him. God is working out His perfect plan, which will cause His glory to shine the brightest. Imagine with me if Adam and Eve had not sinned. And everyone all throughout history was perfect. The world was perfect. There was no sin, no defect, no brokenness. Everyone loved each other. Everyone loved and worshiped God as they ought. Every relationship was perfect. Well, if it were all perfect, then it would have been much easier for God to love us. It would have been an easy thing. But in God's great plan, He ordained the fall into sin. He's not the author of sin, but He ordained it. And He did it to show the extent of His love and grace. It's easy to love people who are perfect, but it's hard to love people who are broken and sinful, who mess everything up. It takes work, hard work, to love messy people. And that's what God has been doing. God has done all this so that we would understand and know the depths of His love and the magnitude of His grace. You parents, you know that it's easy to love a child who's obedient and loving. A child who doesn't mess things up. A child who doesn't sin. A child who doesn't make mistakes. It'd be easy to love that child. A child that's always looking to serve you. But it's hard when your child is bad and needy and stinky. But when you have this bad child, it gives you the opportunity to demonstrate the extent of your love by continuing to love them and showing them grace upon grace, continuing to bless them with your love. Well, God has planned the history of the world, and He's worked it out in this precise way to show us the extent of His grace. We don't deserve this spiritual blessing, Stu. We don't deserve to be a part of the process of reconciliation. We don't deserve to be united to Christ. But God, in His great love and grace, has poured out this stew of blessing, this reconciliation upon us, so that He would be known as the gracious, loving God of the universe. He does it all for His glory. So why does God give us every spiritual blessing? Because the more loving and gracious He is, the more He will be glorified. It's all for His glory. You know, one of the accusations that people throw at God is, well, how can God allow such terrible things to happen here on earth, like the tsunami that killed hundreds of thousands of people, or an earthquake that killed thousands, or a child to suffer from cancer or disease, or millions to die of famine and war? Or on our thoughts today, how could God allow the attack on the Twin Towers that killed thousands? Or maybe in your own life, life just isn't going the way you wanted it to, the way you anticipated, and you wonder, how could God not give you what you want in this life? And we accuse God of being stingy with His blessing. I was speaking to a fellow pastor some time ago, and he said that after he preached on the blessing of God, there was a person who was going through some hard times. Things weren't working out as she anticipated. And she said, "Good sermon, but I don't believe in blessings anymore." How blind we can be, overwhelmed by our circumstances. We have been given every spiritual blessing in Christ. And we are in the middle of this process of reconciliation, seeing all things reconciled back together, united under Christ. You may be going through hard times, but don't lose sight of the gracious blessings that God has given to you through Christ. God, in His love, is putting it all back together. He's given you every spiritual blessing in Christ, and you will enjoy perfect, complete, and glorious reconciliation. The shalom of all things. What a gracious, patient, and loving God we serve. May His name be glorified. Let's pray. Our gracious God, we thank you that you have overwhelmed us with blessing. Please let your blessings continually come into our minds as we're overwhelmed by the struggles of life. Let us remember and rejoice in your goodness to us. Come, Lord Jesus, come and complete this work of reconciliation. It's in your name that we pray. Amen.